Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. I got full details for you at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Oregon's Liberty Ship Factory. Henry Kaiser's Portland Shipyard, they were cracking a champagne bottle over the bow of a brand new Liberty ship every 3 days throughout the war. They were literally building Liberty ships at a faster rate than Hitler's boys could sink them. This story was first published way back on May 2nd, 2009, under the headline Oregon's Liberty Ship Factory, building them faster than Hitler could sink them. Here we go. Most Oregonians have some idea what Liberty ships are. Simple, steam-powered freighters built with frantic speed and staggering numbers by American shipyards during World War II, with the stated goal of building them faster than Hitler's boys could sink them. In this, they were wildly successful. American shipyards cranked out roughly 2,750 of these things during the first 5 years of the 1940s, during which time the minions of Messrs. Hitler and Tojo only managed to sink about 200. One Liberty ship was actually built in just 4.5 days. And these weren't small ships. Each one was 441 feet long and 56 feet wide and could lug 18 million pounds of jeeps and airplanes and soldiers or anything else without being overloaded, which, by the way, they frequently were. A 2,500-horsepower steam engine pushed them to a pathetic but adequate 11 knots, maximum speed. Liberty ships were not exactly objects of beauty. Franklin Roosevelt, president at the time, referred to them as a dreadful-looking object, and most people thought he was right. They were considered expendable and not expected to last more than 5 years. But they were more than just cannon fodder. One of them drew first blood on the water during World War II when it sank a German raider in an old-fashioned gun battle in 1942. There was a war on, so many of the ships went to sea bristling with cannon barrels, some as big as 5 inches, with Navy guys to shoot them. There would have been a lot fewer of these ships, though, had it not been for the man who owned the Oregon Shipbuilding Corporation in Portland, Henry J. Kaiser. Kaiser owned 7 shipyards around the country, including the Oregon one. What made the local yard special, though, was that it was specifically set up to produce Liberty ships, and it was set up in the most efficient way possible, like an assembly line. In just under 4 years, Portland cranked out 455 of them. In other words, a brand new freighter was getting a champagne bottle broken against its bow roughly every 3 days. It all ended, of course, with the war. The shipyards were shut down. The ships they produced soldiered on for years, but only 2 survive today, both of them museum ships, the John W. Brown and the Jeremiah O'Brien. And, by the way, if you ever get a chance to tour the Jeremiah O'Brien, pay the ticket and go aboard, especially if it's one of those rare days when they're running the engines. It's a fascinating look, and you would not believe the actual care and craftsmanship that went into building these things that were supposed to be expendable and only last 5 years. It's a fabulous ship. Well, while the shipyards were open, to keep the shipyard workers housed, Kaiser bought 650 acres of farmland in the Columbia River floodplain, diked it, filled it with houses and apartment buildings, and the place was first known as Kaiserville and then Vanport. Like the Liberty ships themselves, Vanport was not expected to survive World War II, but it did for a few years until a rotten railroad trestle washed out in a 1948 flood and let the river roar in. That flood was the biggest since 1894, and you can still see the high water mark labeled on a building in downtown Portland where the water was 2 feet deep. Unfortunately, well-meaning building owners have cleaned away all of the actual water lines, but there's a mark on a painted sign on 2nd Street in downtown Portland. You can see how deep the water would have been. Longtime residents of Springfield actually remember when salvaged buildings from Vanport were trucked down the valley and set up there shortly after the town washed away. As for the Liberty ships, well, other than those 2 museum ships, there may be one moldering away in a boneyard someplace, just quietly rusting to death. But most of them, almost all of them, have been cut up for scrap, and they're gone. Which is kind of too bad. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, You can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 190, 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on our RSS and iTunes feeds, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation. You'll also find full citations to sources for this story on the website. That would be a book by Bill Gulick, and the websites for American Merchant Marines at War and Oregon Historical Society. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is licensed under Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today. Check back tomorrow morning after about 6 a.m. and we'll be talking about the Blue Goose, which is an old steam-powered excursion train that until the mid to late 1980s ran out of Cottage Grove and up into the hills along the railroad grade that was used in the movie Stand By Me. Nobody had the money to keep the old steam train going, which is too bad because people will pay good money for a tourist attraction like that now. But anyway, look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That would be Wednesday morning. And in the meantime, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.